we've been in this series in the book of Acts for, oh gosh, since beginning of January. And it has been so much fun to be able to walk through an entire book of the Bible with you all. If you're new, this is going to be part 25 of our series. And I just want to pray, and I just want to ask that the Lord would speak to you and would speak to me today. So if you would, bow your heads with me, let's pray. Father God, just ask that today, as we look to your word for guidance and instruction and for hope and for life, God, I ask that you would open up our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to receive your word today. Come on, all God's children said, amen, amen, amen. Well, you know, today's message is going to be a little bit of a stinger, all right? I'm going to be honest with you. I like to be upfront about that sometimes. And it's real easy for me to get up here and preach a just, let's go get him for Jesus, like, you know, preaching a little bit. Kind of that Pentecostal flair that I have every once in a while. I get up and just be like having fun, jumping around on stage, getting excited about Jesus and what he's done in my life and what he's doing in our church. And you know, every 3-4 weeks I'll be preaching that kind of message. And then I feel the Lord will just drop one in my spirit that I'm just like, oh, Lord, this one's going to hurt a little bit. And how do I know that? Because it hurt me. It convicted me even as I was preaching it to myself, and as I was writing it and going through it and looking to the Word of God, I was sitting in my office just crying and saying, Lord, help me even to do this. Help me to receive this Word as well. And I think that if we open up our hearts and open up our minds today, I really believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And it's going to sound difficult as we go through it, but man, at the end, I promise, there's some amazing hope at the end, and there's some amazing encouragement for you at the end. So man, I just want to tell you right now, I believe God's going to do something powerful in this place today. And if you believe that, would you say amen? Come on. So Penn Jillette, anybody ever heard of him before? From Penn and Teller, if you know maybe the show. He's a famous magician, and he's also famously atheist, all right? And he told a story a few years back about a very kind Christian man who came up to him after one of his shows and handed him a Bible. And this is what Penn had to say. I've always said, I don't respect people who don't proselytize. If you don't know what that word is, it just means sharing your faith about Jesus. I don't respect that at all. If you believe there is a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate someone to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? If I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, and that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point that I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And this leads me to a very important question that I want to pose to each and every one of us today. And this is, what is the responsibility of a believer toward people who don't believe? What is the responsibility of a believer toward people that don't believe? But let's make it personal, okay? Sometimes I like to make it personal for me. And so, what is my responsibility toward my parents, my spouse, my kids, my friends, my coworkers, my classmates, the people that I meet that don't believe in Jesus yet? What is my responsibility to these people? Well, the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we will have to give an account for every word that we have spoken. You know that's in the Bible. That's in the Word of God. Sometimes I like to flip things up and think about things in a different way. I wonder if when we'll get to heaven one day, if we will also have to give an account for the words that we chose not to say. For the times when the Holy Spirit was nudging you to say something about your faith or to invite somebody to church and you just didn't because, yeah, I don't want to make it weird. Or to shoot them that text message of encouragement, say, hey, here's a Bible verse I feel like God had for you. Say, here's a word that I have for you. Or even just starting a conversation or sharing your testimony. Maybe God's encouraged you to do this at some point, and yet we kind of shy away from it because, man, I don't want to make things weird, or I don't know what to say, or whatever it might be. Will we give an account for that one day? Listen, the last thing I want to hear from my Father in heaven when I get there one day is, why didn't you tell your family and friends about me? I told you, and you know that I told you, because you know what that feeling feels like sometimes, right? When the Holy Spirit's kind of like tugging on you, like, oh, you need to go talk to that person, you need to say something. And then what do? A lot of times is we push that feeling down, or we push it away, like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I wonder if God's going to bring that up when we meet him one day. And so the title of the message is very straightforward and very simple. It's No Blood on My Hands. No blood on my hands. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. I think there's going to be some helpful things for you and I today. And so Paul has been traveling, and we've been looking through the book of Acts, and he's been telling people about Jesus all over the world. And for a few years, he had planted himself in the city of Ephesus. And so he'd been there for a few years. He'd preached in public. He'd preached door to door. And the church had grown so much. They were doing really well, to be honest. The church was doing very, very well at the time. But Paul gathers all the elders of the church at Ephesus together and basically says, hey, we got to have a talk. And how many of y'all know that when someone says, we got to have a talk, you know, you're like, okay, something's up. You know, this is probably not going to be good. And so Paul gets emotional, and he starts to give him a little speech here. And I'm just going to summarize it in the Trevor Achley version of the Bible, okay? And then we'll pick up in another verse down the line. And we're in Acts chapter 20, and I'm summarizing from about verse 13 all the way to verse 36 here, and we'll pick up there in just a moment if you want to turn in your Bibles there. I just imagine Paul's gathering everybody around. He's been with these guys for years. Man, they built the church together, done so many things, and I would just imagine he says, you know, guys, it's been an incredible few years with all of you. It really has. I've been with you since day one when I traveled here, and we've done life together. We've cried together. We've celebrated together. We've built the church together, and God's been good, hasn't he? Come on. And I wish I could stay, but the Holy Spirit told me I need to go back to Jerusalem. I don't know exactly what's ahead, but all I do know is that he's told me at the very least I'll be put in prison and beaten. But if I'm honest, I have a suspicion I might not make it out alive. And all I do know is that I'm not going to be back. This is the last time I'm ever going to see you guys. So please, just take care of the church here. Take care of the people. Remember, it's always better to give than it is to receive. Just do what God's called you to do. Be who God's called you to be. I love you guys very much. And then we pick up right here in verse 36. It says, when he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them. And they all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad most of all because he had said that they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship. There's one part of his speech to these elders of the church, these pastors, these leaders, these men of God he's been doing life with for a long time. There's one piece that I want to pull out today and want us to look at. It's in verse 25 and 26, and it says this. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Paraphrase, it's kind of a weird way to write that. He's saying, hey, to all of you that I've preached to and hung out with, you're never going to see me again. This is it. That's where he says, I'm not going to be back. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. He's saying, you're never going to see me again, guys, but I have preached the word faithfully to all of you. I have loved you well. We have done life together. I've told you and all of you and more about Jesus. So when I get to heaven one day and I stand before my Father, I'm going to be able to say, I have no blood on my hands. And I want to ask this question to ourselves. I want to ask myself. If I never saw this person, insert person, again, would I be able to say, I've done my part to help them follow Jesus? It's a question I want us to ask ourselves. If you never saw your mom again, if your dad passed away tomorrow, I don't mean to be this doom and gloom kind of guy, but the reality of the situation is life is short, amen? Like, we know this. Life is fleeting. It's here one day and it's gone tomorrow. That's what the Word of God says. If you change jobs and you never saw that coworker again, if you change schools and you never saw that classmate again, or maybe your friend group's kind of just changed up and you just don't really see them anymore, or if your gym buddy ends up moving away or going to another gym and you never see him again, would you be able to say, man, their blood is not on my hands? And if we're not sharing our faith, this is what I really want to get across today. If we're not sharing our faith, We're not fulfilling the great commission that Jesus left us with. It's the last thing that he said before he went back to heaven. The very last thing. How many of y'all know that the last thing that you say in a conversation is usually the most important thing, right? The last reminder, the last thing that you say, many times is the most important thing that you want somebody to remember. And this is what Jesus said right before he left his disciples. In Matthew 28, he gives us the great commission. It's right here. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, go and tell everybody. And y'all remember, I'm always with you. And now school has started again. Come on now. How many moms and dads are excited about school starting again? Come on now. How many of y'all are sad that school started again? Okay, like my wife over here, I know. We just dropped off our son, Oakland. I guess he's been through 2 weeks of school now, right, babe? Just one? Okay, let's see. I don't even know because I'm like, hey, get out of here. Have some fun, all right? It was his first day of kindergarten, and it was so incredibly sweet. And at the school he goes to, they have this thing. It's called Cheers and Tears. And so, you know, cheers because we're excited and tears because we're also sad. And, you know, you kind of feel all of those emotions and it kind of comes in waves. I'm excited, get out of the house, but also like, man, I'm going to miss you, you know? And so we dropped him off first day of kindergarten. And, man, I know what it is like because I watch my wife try to get our one child ready for school in the morning. And, you know, we have Tegan who's two. She's not going to school, but, you know, you still got to get her ready. You still got to put her in the car. I do not know how some of y'all with four, there was a lady in first service, that she said, she held up her hand like this. I said, you have to get five kids ready for school every morning? And she's like, And I was like, somebody, we got to pray for this lady. Come on, in the name of Jesus, give her strength to get through this year. Because it is crazy. I know what it's like, moms. You're trying to get them kids ready for school. Honey, do you have your backpack? Where's your backpack? Okay. Did you put your lunch in there? Do you have your lunch? Because last time you forgot your lunch and you didn't have any food. You had to borrow lunch from a friend. You had to do this. Okay. How about your homework? Because Mrs. Jones has already gone on to you so many times about not turning in your homework. I know you did your homework, right? Okay, that's fine. I know you do your homework, but then you have to take that homework and then give it to your teacher, right? Let's pray. Give the homework to your teacher, okay? Make sure that you do that on time. Remember, we also have dinner tonight with your grandma and grandpa. So do not come home from school and say, Mom, can I go hang out with my friends? Because the answer is what? No, you may not go hang out with your friends after school because what? Because we have dinner with grandma and grandpa. That's right. Okay, cool. And so, honey, just don't forget. Hold on one second. Don't forget. Be a good boy today. Just help somebody today at school. And honey, I love you so much. I'll see you after school, okay? All right, bye. Get out there. What was the most important thing that mom said? Be a good boy. Help somebody today. I love you so much. Have a great day at school. Did that make all the other things that mom said not important? No. You need to remember your homework. You need to pack your lunch. You need to remember that we have dinner with grandma and grandpa tonight. And all these other things are important. But the last thing that mom said before you walked out the door was, be a good boy. Have a great day at school. Help somebody. I love you so much. And that's exactly what Jesus does. The last thing that you say many times is the most important thing. Of all the things that Jesus could have said at the end, right? This is what he chose to say. So we got to think, this must be important. Go tell everybody about what you've seen, guys. Go tell them about the miracles. Go tell them about the people's lives that have been changed. Go tell them that the kingdom of heaven is here. And y'all remember, hey, I'm always with you guys. I know it doesn't say it in the text, but I imagine he probably threw in a, hey, I love you guys. And so this is a point I have for you today. I encourage you to write this down and remember this. Write this on your heart. Sharing your faith is not optional. It's a command. Sharing your faith is not optional. It is a command. For the disciples, it was crystal clear what Jesus was asking them to do. There was no discussion over whether or not they should share their faith. It was not ambiguous. It was a given that this is something that we are going to do. Why? Because Jesus commanded it. But what started out as a very clear command, now 2,000 years later, it's not as much the Great Commission as it is the Great Omission. It's not the Great Commission, but a lot of times for American Christians especially, it is the Great Suggestion, right? Maybe I'll do it. If it's not going to make things weird, maybe I won't. And listen, in 2022, I want to read this research to you. It says a Lifeway research survey revealed that 70% of Christians have not shared with a stranger how to become a Christian in the last 6 months. While 93% say they're at least somewhat open to having a conversation about faith with a friend, only 52% shared a story in the last 6 months about what God has done in their life with a friend or family member who was not a Christian. Additionally, 57% say they have not invited an unchurched friend or family member to attend a church service or some other program at church in the past 6 months. And 62% say they have not shared with a friend or family member how to become a Christian in the past 6 months. Friends, this cannot keep happening. Those stats are terrible. They're awful. And I know some of y'all are like, oh, I'm one of them, you know, and I understand I'm not here to condemn today. Listen, hear my heart. I don't want to condemn and just make somebody feel bad today, but I do think there is something called a holy conviction from the Holy Spirit of God that each and every one of us needs. And we have to understand that, guys, this is not a suggestion. This is not something that Jesus asked. Hey, if you have time for it, hey, if you feel like it, hey, if it's not going to make things awkward, and I'm not saying you got to make things weird or awkward, but what he's saying is, listen, this is a command, and we got to figure out how to make this thing happen. Yeah. This is important. The stakes are too high. It's too high. It's life or death. And to be honest, it just leads me to believe that the gravity of the situation is not being fully understood. Like, do we really understand what's happening here? Heaven and hell are real places, y'all, and I'm not here to talk about end time stuff. That's not something I'm like super into. I'm not here to talk about what those places are going to look like, what they're not going to look like. What I do know is that we're going to one of them. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare what? A place for you, right? He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. He's saying, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm the way to get there, right? Everyone has a choice to accept or reject God. And listen, all I'm trying to say here today is, if any of my family is lost, it better not be because I didn't try. I want to be like Paul, be able to say, listen, their blood is not on my hands because I gave it all I got. Listen, if any of my friends are lost, it's not going to be because I didn't tell them. I'm going to obey Christ. I'm going to love my neighbor by and through sharing my faith. Christ has entrusted us with this mission, the Great Commission, to go and tell the world about his love. And man, I just believe that God is looking for some people here at Radical Church in Kyle, Texas today. They're going to stand up and say, you know what? Just like Paul wrote in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to share on my story where I go to church. Like, I'm not ashamed to send a text message and invite somebody. I'm not ashamed of my testimony. Man, Mr. Richard Benavidez in our men's group yesterday shared an incredible testimony of what God has done in his life. Man, there is power in the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Man, there's power in what God has done in your life to change somebody else's life. Man, we cannot keep that to ourselves. Amen? We got to share what Jesus has done. I'm going to share about the faithfulness of my God. I'm going to share about the goodness and the love of my God. And the grace of God through Jesus Christ, right? And so you might be like, I'm excited. Yes, Pastor, come on. I'm going to go share with who exactly? Who should I tell? I can't really tell everybody, but like I can tell some people, but like who am I actually responsible for, right? I think that's the next kind of logical question I would have in my mind is, so we're supposed to go tell the whole world, like me personally, got to go tell the whole world? Or like, where do I fit into this? Because, you know, I can't just be going around telling everybody, you know, like, do you know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Like, do you know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Like, I can't just be like, that's just weird. You know, I'm not going to do that all the time. I still have a family. I got kids, or I got class, or I have jobs, or I have a life. So where does kind of all that fit in? How do I know if I'm doing enough? What's the expectation here, Jesus, right? How do I know if I'm not doing enough? And should I feel convicted right now about this? I don't know. I think those are good questions to ask. And, you know, do I have to become a street preacher? You know, I don't think so. Do I have to go knock on every single door in my neighborhood and tell them about Jesus? Listen, first off, ain't nobody opening the door. It's 2024, y'all. Like, come on. I don't open the door for nothing, all right? I don't care who you are, right? And so listen, do I have to sell everything and become a missionary? I mean, there's just all these different questions that you could kind of go down that path and ask. But I think the answer to that is, of course not. You don't have to necessarily do any of that. If we were all supposed to be missionaries, check this out. Paul, I think, would have been pretty frustrated. Why am I the only one doing all this work right now? I got me and like three buddies, and all of y'all, you're just like, oh, we're going to stay here in Ephesus and help the church here. Okay, cool. Why don't y'all pack your bags and come on with me, right? I think if we were all supposed to be missionaries, I think that's what he would have said. You guys are just going to hang out in Corinth and just help the church in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians? Come on now. Like, no, no, no. You guys are packing your bags. You're going to go be missionaries. You're going to go tell everybody on the streets and all this kind of stuff. Did he say that? No, he didn't. Why? Because those people were not called to the same mission that he was. They were not being sent to the same place that he was. Listen, I don't have to preach on every street corner, but I am called by God to share about Jesus. So what do? If I had to sum it up in one sentence, what we should all do, this is what I would say. I would say, share where you're sent. Share where you're sent. Galatians 1:1, Paul is writing this. He says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Not everyone is sent to the same place and the same people, y'all. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. That was his primary mission. What about Peter? Well, Peter was actually sent first to the Jews. His mission was more for the Jews living in Jerusalem. There were other pastors, leaders, and elders that were sent to those cities, and they were called to pastor those cities. And so this is a very important thing. You got to ask the question, God, where have you sent me? And also, God, where might you be sending me in the future? That's a good question to ask. Will there be some missionaries that go? Yes. Come on now. And we thank God for our missionaries that cross borders and cross cultural lines to go tell people about Jesus. We thank God for them. But are there some pastors that will stay? Yes. And we thank God for them too. Are there doctors? Are there lawyers? Are there salespeople? Are there teachers? Are there students? Come on. Are there stay-at-home moms that will stay and do the work of God in their work and in their family? Yes. And we thank God for all those people. Why? Because we are all the body of Christ and we all need each other. We can't all be sent and have the same mission. Why? Because there's different people that need to be reached in different ways. And you are a different person. And God has a mission and is sent for you. The people that you need to invest in. What's your mission? What is God sending you to do? I'm not trying to be sent into someone else's mission field. I'm trying to be faithful to the mission field God's given me and to the people that he's put in my path. And listen, God sent me to Kyle, Texas to come preach the gospel here. He sent me to Kyle, Texas to preach to you guys today. It's no accident that you're here this morning. This is a part of my mission. And I believe our mission together is to preach the word to Hayes County and to help people find and follow Jesus and understand the radical love that Jesus has for them. Listen, Paul says, I'm innocent of the blood of everyone here. All you people that I've gathered here today and all the people in Ephesus, I'm innocent of all of it. He's not upset at himself for not being able to tell more people. He's very content because he told the people he could. And really what I hear Paul saying is, I shared where I was sent. I did the thing God asked me to do. I shared to the people that God sent me to. So I just want to ask, are we being faithful to the command of Jesus in Matthew 28 to go and tell, right? Are we sharing where we're sent? And not everyone that you share with is going to say yes. That's a hard thing. It's a tough reality, but it's just the truth. Ultimately, everybody has to make their own decisions, don't they? We have free will. Got to be able to make our own decisions. I can't force you to believe in God. I can't force you to do anything. Even here on stage, I can preach the word, but I can't make you do anything with it, right? You still gotta take this word and apply it to your life. I'm not gonna be knocking on your door, you know, tomorrow being like, hey, have you shared with anybody yet? You know, I'm not gonna do that. It's up to you. Paul writes, I'm innocent. He says, basically, if you don't accept Christ, it's not on me because I gave it all I had. His conscience was very clear. But here's something, and this is very, very important. And I want you to lean in today. Do not let the enemy condemn you for someone else's choice about God. Do not let the enemy condemn you for someone else's choice about God, their faith, their spirituality, their relationship with the Lord. Parent in this room today, maybe a son, a daughter, friend, coworker that's in this room today. You need to release yourself from the burden of other people's choices. There's somebody here today. You got to release yourself from other people's choices. It's from the guilt of what you think that you could have done, what you think you should have done, what you think you should be doing right now, and maybe you're not. Listen, I know some prayer warriors who shared their faith with a family member for years and years and years and years. They prayed for this person's salvation, that they would be saved, that God would do something in their life, and that family member died. And to their knowledge, they never gave their life to Jesus. That guilt is not yours to bear. Paul released himself, and you need to also. Because what does the Word of God say? It says that every person is accountable to God for their own choices. Excuse me. Listen, you cannot take the weight of someone else's salvation upon yourself. That's not on you. And what if you're the first person to tell them about Jesus? And this happens all the time. You might be the first person to tell them about Jesus, and then you tell them about Jesus for years and years, and they never listen. And then 10 years down the line, maybe they move away or they meet some rando, okay, and they tell them about Jesus, and then they get saved, and you're like, are you kidding me? For real? It's been like 10 years I've been praying for you, sharing my faith with you, inviting you to church, telling you about Jesus, and now this random pastor in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like, he's the one. Like, so is he that much better than me? Really? Like, what did he do? What did he say? Maybe I said something wrong. You know, like, I'm just messing. But the point is you might be planting a seed that somebody else might water one day. And ultimately, you know what? It's God that makes it grow anyway. Because the Word of God says that people will be held accountable for their faith in God because the attributes of God are already revealed in creation. It says so that no man may have excuse. What am I trying to say here? You're not that important. You're important in the sense that you're a part of the mission and you're a part of the puzzle, but you're a piece of the puzzle. You aren't the whole puzzle, okay? You don't have to feel personally responsible for the salvation of the entire world or the salvation of your entire family. And I know people that really do, honestly. And there's somebody in here today that you need to release yourself. Keep praying, keep inviting, keep pushing, keep being bold about it. But listen, at the end of the day, that is not on you. Child of God, release yourself. Condemnation is from the enemy. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit, but condemnation is from the enemy. That is not yours to bear. You don't save anyone anyway. I don't save anyone. I mean, I could preach to you today and, you know, last couple weeks we've had 35, 40 people give their lives to Jesus. Did I do that or did Jesus do that? Certainly wasn't me. I'm not that good. I can't take credit for that. It's Jesus that convicts the heart of man. It's Jesus that draws people to himself. The Bible says that God is a jealous God, right? He wants a relationship with each and every one of us. And it's Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that draws the heart of man to himself. So don't let the enemy make you feel guilty for somebody that has gone away from the Lord. Whether that's a son or daughter or somebody in your life, man, do not feel that. That is not from the Lord. But let the Holy Spirit convict you to keep trying, to keep praying, to keep reaching out. Guys, you cannot stop. Do not let the enemy give you guilt for somebody that's gone away, but don't let the enemy stop you either, you know? He'll try to do both things. He'll stop you one way or the other. Paul was able to release himself because he knew he had done what God asked him to do. He shared where he was sent. He planted the seeds where God asked him to plant the seeds, and then he let God handle the rest. Maybe you haven't shared up until this point. Maybe you haven't been faithful in this way by sharing your faith or sending that text message or asking, hey, let's get that lunch or just bringing up your testimony, whatever that might be, inviting someone to church. I don't know. But what I'm asking you to do is, man, start today. Start now. Start this week. You can't just constantly be telling people about Jesus, all right? Like, I understand. I'm not asking you to go to HEB after church today and just stand in an aisle, you know, aisle 42, and then just be like, all right, Lord, whoever walks down aisle 42, I'm going to tell them about Jesus, all right? this is my mission field. You know, like the bread aisle, praise God, it smells good. Okay, no, I'm not, that's not what I was saying. Unless God calls you to do that, in that case, go for it. You know what I'm saying? But listen, I'm not asking you to tell everyone, but can you tell one? What were the stats earlier? It's basically that nobody is doing it. Like not even just one, you know? So I use this stat or this phrase all the time with my staff, and especially with our connections team here at the church. That, you know, they're in the parking lot, they're at the doors, they're greeting you. We have some ushers even here at the back. It's like, who's your one? Who's your one? Who's one person that you can reach out to today? Who's one person that you can invite to church? Who's one person, you know, for our team? Who's one person that you should encourage today? Who you feel like the Lord is telling you to give a Bible verse to, or maybe just encourage. Say hello to. Give a big smile on your face and say, hey, how can I pray for you today? You know, who's that one person that you need to reach out to today? And I'll be honest, I'm going to ask you that question. Who's your one? Because I prayed that the Lord, as I was preaching this message, would put that one person that you need to reach out to on your heart. And I guarantee you, the whole time I've been preaching this message, from the beginning, some of you have already had that person in your mind the whole time. You've been thinking about them constantly. And some of y'all are filled with anxiety because you know that the Lord is telling you to say something, and you're just like, oh no, like now I have to. Oh, you know what the Bible says, unfortunately for you, is that we're accountable to the things that we know. So that's not good for some of you. So, who's your one? Who's that person? I'll be honest with you. I have one. There's more than one, but there's one that I've had on my heart. I told you this message was going to convict a little bit today, and I also told you it convicted me. And as I was sitting in my office writing and praying, the Lord even convicted my heart. There's somebody in my family that I need to reach out to that I have not. Haven't talked to in a while, you know? And so I just want to ask that question. Who's your one today? How can I be faithful from this day forward? Who has God sent me to? Don't shrink back, guys. Don't stop inviting. Don't stop reaching out. And y'all, to be honest, that's why we're going to four services. Because I believe that there's going to be a whole lot of your ones that end up in this building. I believe over the next month, we're going to hear stories. Oh my goodness, I'm going to meet somebody. You're going to bring them up to me and be like, hey, pastor, that message you preached about a month ago really convicted my heart. And I reached out to my mom or my dad. Hey, I want to introduce you to my son. We had a great talk, and man, he's in church today. Hasn't been in church in a long time. Just want to introduce you. Or maybe even better, he's given his life to the Lord. And we had a great talk, and man, I prayed with him. He gave his life to Jesus. He's here at church today. And listen, I want to make room for, that's why we're going to four services, because I want you to be able to invite your friends and family. I couldn't even preach this message. I was so convicted. I was like, Lord, we got to make room. We got to have space. I'm asking these people to invite people to church. I'm asking them to pray over their friends and family and to try to help them get saved, and they ain't got nowhere to sit. Lord, we got to go for four. We got to go for more. And so I'm excited to see the people that come into this house, not just because of my preaching, not because of this band, not because of the great social media presence that we have, come on now, but because of the people of God being the church of God and taking the Great Commission seriously, saying yes to it, and then going out and where the places that they're sent, man, reaching out to those people. I believe there's going to be people coming to this church because of it. I really do. So don't stop sharing. And if you've never started, man, start this week. I hope this has encouraged you today. And what I want us to do is, for those of you, maybe you're like, hey, I have that one person on my mind and on my heart. I want to pray for those people today together. So I'd ask you, if you can, would you stand up with me? We're going to pray. We're going to sing a little bit. And then we'll be dismissed. But listen, just for a few moments, I would ask, can we cry out to God for those people that need Jesus in our lives? You know who they are. Can we take a second? Listen, if an atheist is telling me, come on, y'all, that I need to reach out more, goodness gracious. Like, it's Jesus that gave us the mission. It's Jesus that told us to do this. And there's an atheist being like, hey, listen, I ain't got no respect for people that don't take that seriously, because Jesus obviously commanded it and they're not doing it. So I ain't got no respect for that. Listen, when I get to heaven, oh my goodness, I want it to be said of me that there is no blood on my hands because I was faithful where I was sent. And I want that to be said of you as well. So let's take a second if we can. The prayer team, if you're here, I would love for you to come up front. If you have somebody specifically that you would like to pray for and you want to partner in prayer with somebody else, our prayer team is going to be across the front here, and they would love to pray with you and believe with you that God is going to help save that individual and do something powerful in their lives. But all over this room, if you have somebody on your mind already, would you be so bold as to raise your hand and say, hey, I got that person, just to, as a way of saying, hey, God, I'm listening. I'm saying, yes, I got that. I'm raising my hand with you guys today. Come on, let's start praying. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord and let's start crying out, God, we come to you this morning and we ask that you would save somebody, Lord, that you would change these people, our coworkers, our friends, our family members, God, the people that we come into contact with. God, give us the boldness to step out in faith and to say something. Come on, all across this room, let's worship Jesus. Let's pray. Let's really cry out to God for just a second for these people in our lives that need Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. God, we ask that your Spirit would do a mighty work in this place today. God, seal this word in our hearts and help us to reach out to those that need you. God, we love you, Lord Jesus. We need you. We need you. Come on, keep praying. Keep believing this morning, and we're going to sing together. Come on, let's lift up some praise to Jesus. Jesus.